Just thank you, Lord. God has given me a message I feel like is very timely concerning our current event as a church and our current event as a nation, our current event as individuals. When we look at our lives, sometimes it seems like our life is really, really hard, amen, but compared to others, our life is a breeze. We're blessed, amen. When you stop and you look at the devastation that's hit the Bahamas, you are blessed if you live in a hut in South Carolina. You're blessed if you have $100 in your bank account compared to where some people are in their lives. This morning I want to preach to you a message that God's laid on my heart called The Necessity of Grace. Do you know you need grace this morning?
Amen.
We all need grace. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And if you will, stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Hallelujah. The necessity of grace. Looking at Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. What a statement. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. What a powerful promise this morning. And again, I want to preach to you a message entitled The Necessity of Grace. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we need your grace. God, we can't pray in your spirit. We don't deserve the least of all your blessings. We need that precious, unmerited favor of God. Lord, I ask you to touch me with that anointing that makes preaching effective. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what your Spirit would say unto the church. Help us, oh, Lord, to not be forgetful hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us to be doers of thy word. And God, will be ever careful to give you the praise and glory and honor for all that you do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Shake your neighbor's hand as you're seated and tell him you're glad to see him in God's house today. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is a work of grace. We cannot save ourselves. We didn't decide one day to come down to the altar and give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. We didn't decide to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord without God's influence first revealing God to us. It was God that revealed to us we were sinners. It was God that revealed to us we needed a Savior. He might have worked through a godly mother, through a pastor. He might have worked through whatever means he needed to, but it was God that brought you to himself. If you've ever been healed, that was an act of grace. If you've ever been delivered from sin, something that had dominion over your life, that was an act of grace. And we need grace in the day and age that we live in. What is grace? It is the precious, unmerited favor of God revealed on the human heart and life. Glory to God. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But here it is for us. And if you look at the book of Revelation and you study the seven churches of Asia that Jesus was prophesying to and rebuking and correcting, you can look at those as individual examples, or you can see them as church ages. And if it is a church age, then this is the age that we are in. It is a pre-tribulation church age, as we're going to look at in a little while, Lord willing. But I want you to realize, beloved, sometimes God will keep us from things that he allows to come on other people because of his grace. Sometimes he keeps us through things that he keeps from other people because of his grace. And sometimes he allows us to go home to be with him because of grace. Look at what Jesus said to this church at Sardis, which was a church that was in the midst of a pagan society where they worshiped at temples and where there were temple prostitutes. And I could go on with how defiled and how wicked the people of Sardis was. But I'm glad to say that even in a wicked city, there can be children of God. Hallelujah. I want you to understand this morning, you might be surrounded by wickedness, but you can still choose Jesus.
Amen.
You might have spouses. You might have children. You might have communities and people that you work with that are wicked, and every type of thing going on in society can be right around you, but you can choose Jesus Christ. Grace is there to help you do it. Now, let's look at verse 4 again of Revelation chapter 3. It says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments." Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, "He knows your name." Do you realize that this morning, Brother Tim? He knows Tim Bevel. He knows Tina Bevel. I could go on down the list. He knows your name, and he knows whether you're right or not.
Amen.
You might fool the preacher. You might fool your spouse. You might fool your children. But God knows your heart.
Amen.
Notice what it says here. I love what Jesus said here. Notice he didn't say, "Those that are defiled, I just toss them out. I don't worry about them." No, when people are defiled, God's grace is there to get them right.
Amen.
Notice what he says here. He says, "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white." Who are the ones that are going to have a white robe and crown? It's not just the believers, because the Bible says even the devils believe and they tremble. It's not the believers, it's those who are right with God. Are you in a right relationship with God? Grace this morning reveals to you the condition of your heart. Grace tells you, you know what? I'm not where I need to be. I need to get down at the altar and make it right. Lord, hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this house. Look with me at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. There was a couple of things that was wrong with the Sardinian Christians, if I can call them that. First of all, notice what he said. "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Now, James chapter 2, verse 20 and 26 tells us very plainly that faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. We are saved by faith. Faith that God puts into our heart. Faith that God causes to spring to life and motivates us, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. But notice what happens here. That faith and that belief motivates us to live right.
Amen.
Jesus said they had a name, they were children of God. They might have had a name, they were Pentecostal. They might have had a name. They were Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. But the works didn't back up the profession. We need to examine our works periodically. And we need to understand this morning, one of the key things we've got to do is confession. I didn't get to give this to Brother Glenn, but I'm going to ask you right now, Brother Glenn, pull up for me Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. While he is looking for those scriptures, I want to remind you of something, beloved. You can't be an undercover Christian and make it into heaven.
Amen.
You've got to live your Christianity out loud. Your children ought to know you're Christian. The people you work with ought to know you're a child of God. There was a time in the church of God when you couldn't go. You knew immediately who the holiness folks were. You knew immediately by what they listened to, by how they dressed, by the Spirit of God that was upon them. But somewhere along the line, things changed. But I want to remind you this morning that our lifestyle should be part of our confession of what we believe. Look at what it goes on and says here. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me," everybody say confess. "Confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. How many of you want Jesus to confess you before the Father? Amen? But notice this right here. Look at verse 33. Matthew 10:33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Understand this morning, beloved, you're not just living Christianity so you can pat yourself on the back. You're living Christianity so you can be accepted by God. There's a lot of people that say, well, all you got to do is believe and you're going to make it in. Not according to what Jesus said there. You got to confess and you got to live. I've already shared with you Romans 10, 9 and 10. That you've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But I'm glad to know that Jesus don't just point out our problems. I don't want to be one of those type of pastors who just tell you what to do wrong, what you're doing wrong all the time. I'm glad that Jesus not only tells you what's wrong, he tells you what the remedy is. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, glory to God. And let's look at verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. How many of you can say, yep, you know what, I've got to be honest, don't raise your hands. But you can be honest and you can say, there's some things that I used to do I don't do anymore. Maybe you don't pray like you used to pray. Maybe you don't live like you used to live. Maybe you don't worship like you used to worship. Here is Jesus saying, wake up, look out, the Lord's coming. I'm on my way back, be ready. Guess what? That's grace reaching out to you. A lot of people say, oh, well, that just makes me feel bad. Beloved, can I tell you that grace says, you know what, I love you enough, I might make you feel bad for a little while, but hallelujah, there's going to come a day when you're going to praise God because you felt bad and you made a choice to lay down sin and you made a choice to live for me. Hallelujah. Look at what he says here. Verse 2. Oh, hallelujah. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Hallelujah. Why do we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? To strengthen ourselves. Why do we worship? To strengthen ourselves. Why do we read the Word of God? We want to strengthen our faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. We need to strengthen those things which remain. Now listen to this. That are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. And I want to encourage you today. I want us to take a moment and look at what the work of God is. Amen. Jesus tells us plainly what the work of God is. Look with me at John chapter 6, verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Do I have any believers in the house today? Glory to God. Can you give them a hand clap of praise for just a few minutes? The work of God is not just going through the mission field. The work of God is not just being perfect, but it's believing. There's enough in the world today to make you quit believing in God. Amen. There's enough in the world today to make you doubt Jesus Christ and doubt that he is the Son of God and doubt the Word of God. There's work in believing, but you keep at it. You keep working. You might say, Lord, I've got so many mistakes in my life. I've messed up so much. But I still believe. Hallelujah. That's grace. Yes, amen. That's causing you to believe. Hallelujah. It's grace that's leading you to repent. It's grace whenever you feel conviction. It's grace whenever you get down to the altar. It's grace whenever you're healed. Hallelujah. We ought to worship God for every blessing that he gives us. Now, look at what Jesus said, the remedy. Remember, we're talking about the remedy to being dead. The remedy to being a Christian without works is. Notice what he says here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Four things you got to do when you're a Christian on life support this morning. When you're a Christian and you've been beat up, and you're a Christian and you're going through trials, four things you need to hold on to. Number one, remember what you've received. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Remember that opportunity you had and you received it when you confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believed in your heart God raised him from the dead. Remember the victories that God has wrought in your life again and again and again. Hallelujah. Remember what you received. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I change not. You depended on him before. You can depend on him what you're going through. So he says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They're not listening. They don't go to church. They don't put on the Christian radio. They don't read their Bible. So guess what? They're not hearing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. You might say, I don't feel like listening to it. I don't feel like going to church. But beloved, can I tell you, you need to hear. Why? That word is able to save your soul in time of crisis. Hallelujah. Can I tell you right now? Go ahead and give praise. Alcohol ain't saved nobody. Oh, hallelujah. Ungodly friends ain't saved nobody. Facebook ain't saved nobody. And that, I think it might send a lot of them the other way. We can go on and on and on. Things that we put our trust in. What we need to put our trust in is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at what it goes on and says here. So we remember. We listen. We receive. It's one thing to hear. It's quite something else to receive it. That word receive means you take it in and you apply it to your life. Hallelujah. Brother Tim can preach a fireball sermon in a heartbeat, but if you don't receive it, he can preach exactly what you need to hear. But if you don't receive it, guess what? That's on you, not him.
Amen.
You might not like my delivery. You might not like the songs that are sung. You might not like, hallelujah, what the Spirit's moving in the church. It's up to you to receive. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. But you got to listen. You got to hear it. And then you got to receive it in your life. Now look at what it goes on and says here. Remember, we're talking about how to get back alive whenever you're being beat up. When your works are just not where they used to be. Notice what it says here. Hold fast. Can I tell you what? We live in a church age that a lot's changing very quickly.
Amen.
One of the things that's changing is standards. There used to be a time when it would be hard pressed for a homosexual to get in the doors of a church. Now there are some churches that are letting them get behind the pulpit. There are some people I could go on and on and on. With standards that have been let down. Here is Jesus saying, you got to hold fast what I gave to you. And not only do you have to hold on to it, when you stumble and you fall, when you mess up, don't lay there, don't give up. Notice what he says, repent.
Amen.
Can I tell you this morning, that's grace. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls seven times, still God is able to make him stand. You know what the number seven is? It's the number of completion. Maybe say it's the number of God. That means, hallelujah, I can fail again and again and again. But so long as I'm willing to get up and I'm willing to try one more time and I'm willing to keep at it, God is right there to accept me. God is right there to forgive me. That's grace. Somebody give them praise and glory. Now watch the warning. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Hallelujah. I believe Sardis is our church generation, because how many of you know that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night?
Amen.
It's going to come as a lightning flash when men least expect them. See, the Sardis church say, hey, we're good. We confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, but there's no works. Notice what it says here. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come. Now, what do we do if we mess up? How do we get our garments right with God whenever we've allowed our actions, our thoughts, our deeds to soil our garments? Notice what Scripture tells us. How do we get back right with God? Look with me at Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great, everybody say great, tribulation. I don't think this is just talking about the great tribulation which is coming on the earth. I believe this is talking about those who made it through the trials of life. And they've been serious trials of life. There's been great tribulation. Your tribulation might not be my level of tribulation. My tribulation might not be yours, but God knows our hearts, and God knows our struggles, and God knows the battles that we face. And hallelujah, here is grace for you. If you're keeping your garments white and you haven't given up, you haven't backed up, you haven't sat down, beloved, that's grace at work in your life. Yes. Notice what it says. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Do you know you can wash your spirit this morning? You can wash your heart. We had a baptismal just a few weeks ago, but I'm glad I don't have to wait till the preacher calls for a baptism to get clean whenever I dirty my garment. Hallelujah. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I ain't got to tell everybody about what I've done. I just got to go to grace. Notice what it says. They have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. Everybody say white. In the blood of the Lamb. What's going to make my garments white? The blood. Amen. I confess my sins and I believe in the blood. Hallelujah. I want you to understand and realize something this morning. You need grace. There's a lot of people that are in trouble today because they think they've arrived and they got it all right and everything's good. The Bible says that's when you're in that place, you're in a dangerous position. You need grace in your life. Hallelujah. Notice what verse 5 of Revelation chapter 3 says. And I'm going to try to bring this to a close. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus warns us, and that's grace. Jesus tells us what we need to do to get right. That's grace. But Jesus also promises us something. He that overcometh. I just told you how to overcome. I'm going to tell you another scripture in just a minute. How do I overcome my failures? How do I overcome my difficulties? The modern church tells you there ain't nothing that you can do about it. You just got to live with it. But Jesus said there is a way you can overcome. Look with me at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Here's a promise talking about the church. And they overcame him, talking about that old dragon, talking about the devil, talking about the one that defiles our garments. They overcame him by, here it is again, the blood of the Lamb. Do you believe in the blood? Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Notice what it says here. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and here you go. And the word of their testimony. I don't have time to get into all that goes along with that. But I want you just to take a few moments and examine what you said this week. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And it's our tongue that sets the course of our life. What are you letting come out of your mouth? Your testimony is a powerful thing. Don't allow bad attitudes to corrupt your testimony. Don't allow, hallelujah, what you hear on the radio and what you watch on TV and what you look at on the internet to corrupt your testimony. It's the word of your testimony that's either going to deliver you or condemn you. It's the word of your testimony that's either going to help you or corrupt you. Guard your heart, for out of it floweth the issues of life. Look at what it says here. And they loved not their lives unto the death. I think that's probably the biggest problem with the church today. We love life too much. We like our entertainment. We like our socializing. We like the things of this world more than we love God. And it's the things of this world, if we're not careful, they're going to hold us back. Listen, there's nothing wrong with nice stuff, with having a nice house, with having money. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car, having nice clothes. God has given us those things. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the heavenly Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if you got nice stuff, guess what? God gave it to you. You ought to praise Him for it. You ought to celebrate it. But beloved, don't let your stuff get you. Go ahead and give praise. Hallelujah. Let's look at this scripture one more time. And I'm going to ask the praise team, if they will, to come on back. Revelation chapter 3 verse 5. He that overcometh, the same will be clothed in white raiment. You want to talk about a warning this morning. I will not blot out His name out of the book of life. What that tells me is that if Jesus won't blot your name out of the book of life, then there's the possibility that your name can be blotted out of the book of life. There's the possibility that you can miss out. But grace is there to show us we need to get right. Notice what He says here. When you overcome, you believe in the blood, you confess your sins, you strive to live for the Lord, you don't allow the things of this world to corrupt you and defeat you and depress you. Look at what it says. I will not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess. I already asked you how many of you want Him to be confessed. You want Jesus to confess your name before the Father, every hand went up. Amen. I'll lift up both in a foot. Hallelujah. Jesus, here I am. Don't forget me. How do I overcome? The blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony. And I got to love Jesus more than I love the things of this world. Look at what it says here. I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. What do I have to do to be saved? You got to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. What do I have to do to stay saved? You got to confess with your mouth to men, and you got to live out loud your Christianity. Don't be an undercover Christian. Don't take grace for granted. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I'm going to ask every head to bow and every eye to close.